Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello there and happy weekend. Welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. Frank Rush, good to have you along. By the way, if you missed any part of today's program, you want to go back and listen to it again or share it with a friend or a family member or somebody else out there you think might benefit from the information we discussed today, be sure to just drop by our website. We've got it posted for you there as a podcast. You can either stream it or download it, whatever's convenient for you, and listen to it as many times or whenever is convenient for you. Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute is our guest today. Tammy, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be with you.
Just to let folks know, you're the one that runs things up there. So, you know.
Me? I have a great team. But yes, I am at the end of the day the one that, you know, signs the contracts and the paychecks and strategic plans and all that stuff. But we do have a fantastic team.
She's in the corner office, folks, which means basically the buck stops there.
You bet. Be that good or bad. Some days that's a treat, and some days it can, you know, that's how it goes.
How in the world did you even get, I mean, because I know that, you know, you've done stuff with non-for-profits and stuff and have had kind of an interesting career throughout your life. How'd you wind up with Indiana Youth Institute?
Yeah, well, and I actually went to IU for business school, right, and went into corporate banking for a while. So it's even an interesting, you know, but I grew up in a family of teachers. I have 16 family members that are Indiana teachers, counselors, one retired principal in that bunch. And I thought I was going to be the unique kid that broke out and didn't go into school and education and youth. So I went into corporate America and banking, and then, you know, a few years later, here I am. So, so much for treading my own path. Right?
So in a way,
I think it's kind of my blood.
In a way, you're in the family business, but in a way you're not, because you're not actually out teaching or running a school. Now your job is to actually go out and gather information that those folks can actually use to try to improve their operation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I'm so grateful for all, you know, because I do have a good sense, and I have a high, you know, that's kind of all of our Thanksgiving and Easter conversations and cookout conversations are a lot of teachers and educators. So I feel like I have some pretty good insights there, and including both of my parents, actually. And so I have some of those great insights, but you're right. Our goal is really to bring data and information and support to all of those folks that are providing those direct services, whether it's in a classroom or after school program at the YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, United Way, whatever those services are.
I know this is not quite on the topic we're going to, but we'll get to that in a second. But so do you like where you're at? I mean, because you're not in the classroom teaching, you're not even an administrator in a school, so you don't really have the hands-on with the kids that so many in your family do. And like you said, in banking, that has nothing to do with this. So, you know, so I mean, are you happy where you're at? Because it's not really in that educational realm that everybody else in your family is.
Right. Well, here's the great thing. So in a given year, Indiana Youth Institute supports, helps, provide services to 2,600 youth-serving nonprofits in our state. So that is really cool, because what I love to do every time we talk, Frank, is I get to get a sense of what's going on in different parts of the state and what are those needs of those kids and what are the needs of those organizations that are serving the kids. And you can't do that if you're just in one spot. So I really love that big statewide lens. And, you know, there are so many awesome folks around our state that are working to help kids or to promote kids' needs, and that is just endlessly delightful.
Well, and one of the
things, sometimes I miss interacting with little kids. Sometimes I do, but most of the time I get a lot of joy from talking to folks like you and teachers and after school providers.
I'm sure there's probably a few daycares or, you know, like you said, after school providers. They'd love to have you come in and volunteer and you know, kind of check out what's happening.
Yep. Well, I do that as a mom, you know, my other hat when I'm not, you know, I do have a couple of kids of my own. And so I do love volunteering, and I love volunteering where it has nothing to do with what I do every day. It's just showing up, and sometimes it's stuff in goodie bags, and sometimes it's, you know, lining the fields and making sure that the paint's in the right place or staffing the concession stand or whatever those things are needed.
Yeah, but that's different, because when it's your kids and you decide they need a knot jerked in their tail, as my dad used to say, you can do that. But when when it's somebody else's kid, no, sorry.
Yeah. We do interact with our own kids a little differently than we do with other kids in the community, for sure. As we should.
If they misbehave at the mall, you can't just grab them by the ear and drag them over to the exit and say, come with me.
Do not do that. Yeah, I do not advise that. I think on a big picture, we do want to care for each other's kids, and we do want to care. And, you know, again, I'm fortunate to have some close connections with my kids' friends. And they do know that I'm going to hold them accountable when I'm around them. There are rules in our house. There are rules, you know, and we have high expectations. And that creates trust and accountability for them as well. I mean, no more. I'm going to hold them accountable too.
And you must follow the rules. That's the way that works. Hey, the thing we wanted to talk about, and this is something that I know you guys have kind of been studying and keeping an eye on, and in some areas of society, it's still a touchy situation or topic to discuss. In others, we give it a lot of attention. And what I'm curious about is, was this something that's new and we just used to ignore it, or and we just didn't pay attention? I mean, where did this all come from? What I'm talking about is how we help Hoosier kids who associate themselves with the LGBTQ+ community. And I'm not even really sure what all those letters mean, but how do we take care of those kids? And is this something new, or we just didn't discuss it before?
Yeah, I think it's more we didn't discuss it. Maybe it wasn't perceived as being acceptable to discuss. You know, again, I am a data expert, and we'll go through some of the data and training supports all of that. I think there's probably some historians that know more the traditions and the culture and history around LGBTQ+ youth. And but we do know that, you know, there's a good number of kids, 43,000 kids in Indiana, which are the data gauges at ages 13 to 17, who identify as LGBTQ. And the guess is that that's still a little underrepresented because of the fact that a lot of kids may not be comfortable. That's self-reported numbers.
Now, one of the things no matter what the kids are, what they believe they are, how they feel, nobody really wants to see them get, you know, roughed up or made fun of or anything like that. And heaven only knows, kids can be some of the cruelest, roughest, most obnoxious and rude people that we've ever seen in our lives. And teaching them to be nice to everybody else can be a real challenge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we're seeing a lot of schools that have intentionally, you know, there's a lot of new guidelines around anti-bullying or name calling, harassment, because we know when kids experience any of those things that I just rattled off, they skip school, they drop out, you know, all of those things that is not what we want. We want all of our kids to feel like they're safe and supported at school, and then they can be successful there.
You know, one of the things about this, I mean, it's Indiana Youth Institute, but in this regard, especially with this topic, you're probably trying to educate a lot of adults. You know, it could be the Indiana Adult Institute as well as Youth Institute, because, I mean, let's face it, these kids, the ones that you study, the ones that you collect the data on and everything, they are by and large affected and taught by the what they learn at home, by the morals of their parents and stuff. So you're kind of trying to maybe educate, re-educate parents as well as the kids.
Yes, I think, you know, our primary goal, and you're right on, it's Indiana Youth Institute, and yet the way we deliver that mission is by working with youth-serving professionals, so teachers, coaches, after-school providers, those folks. Also, parents, you know, a lot of parents report using our information as well. You know, that's kind of a secondary, that's great. It really, we're looking at those folks that dedicate their lives to helping make sure our kids are safe, well-educated, and have a bright future. So, you know, and we've heard from a lot of, particularly teachers, that kids that identify as LGBTQ have all those risk factors, right? They're they're often more likely to skip school or drop out of school. They're more likely to contemplate or attempt suicide. And the teachers were saying, we want some more resources. We want to know how do we make sure that our school is safe and affirming for all of our kids. So the Teachers Association at the state level, as well as the national level, has put together a whole bunch of great resources that are out there to help those teachers. But again, they're all available to any parent or family member that would also be interested.
So what's lacking? I mean, we want to treat kids, no matter what their persuasion is, we want to treat them respectfully. We want to treat them well. We don't want to make fun of them or make them feel bullied or pressured. But by the same token, too, you don't want to go overboard in the other direction and ignore half your classroom either, if that's where you're at in life. So what do we need to do? What are they missing? And what do we need to do to try to help these kids out?
Well, and I wish there were a one-size-fits-all. But the reality is, in many cases, it's to let the kids feel safe coming to be that the teacher, the coach, and saying, hey, I need a little extra support. Hey, I'm feeling left out. Hey, I'm feeling like this group is doing all those things you said. They're discriminating, or they're bullying, or they're really actively causing pain and harm. And we want, as adults, to have that open, stance of come to us. That's what we're here for. If we're a teacher, if we're a coach, if we're a faith group leader, we're here to support those kids. So we need it to be a safe and open environment. And that sounds kind of simplistic, but yeah, it's easier, it's easier said than done.
And you're also finding, let's just throw it out there because everybody knows it exists there. And we already mentioned it once. That is, there are certain things that parents will teach their kids by the way their home life is, the way they act, the way they talk, or whatever like that. And you're going to cross somebody's boundary somewhere out there, and they're going to get offended by the fact that you're trying to teach their kids something they don't agree with. So, I mean, that's a problem.
Well, and, again, we see that in a lot of areas, right? Is that, and again, there just needs to be a clarity of inclusion and purpose, and nobody's saying that everything that is taught in school has to be incorporated into your family and your home and those things. And similarly, you may learn a lot of things in school that you don't have exposure to at home. And so it's a both and, right? How do we often say, like, learn what your family values are, learn what your family goals are, what your expectations, as I was talking about expectations and accountability, and then take that lens with you. Also be open to, I'm sure that all of us have probably, when we were going, whatever, maybe high school, maybe college, maybe just work world, all of those things, I was like, wow, I never realized this. I didn't know this. I didn't learn this in my family of origin. So be open to new learnings as well. So it's take your own family values and guidelines and that lens, and then also just go out and live the world and live your life in the world.
I know you said this before, and I would imagine the same thing applies here. So you want to discuss this with your kids, be you an educator or be you a parent. Okay, how much do I discuss? And I'm sure it's pretty much going to be dependent upon their age and their yep. and their, more than anything else, their mental age, more than their chronological age.
Well, and I love it because, yes, Frank, I feel like you're becoming the youth expert because it's all scaffolding, right?
No way.
And talking about one of the things that, again, you do need to be age appropriate, and you do need to calibrate your information based on the age and the maturation of your own child. The other thing that we often say and we know is a good practice is answer the questions that they've asked. Most often, kids have very specific questions, and depending upon their age, sometimes it's, how does this impact me? Right? Like, how am I supposed to be processing this? And they may have, it may be a huge topic. It may be, LGBTQ rights. It may be a huge topic. But they may have a very small question. So make sure you're really listening to the question that your child or student or athlete or whatever is asking you, and answer that question. That may be enough for them right there. They may come back with additional questions.
Part of it is because of what I do here, doing news and doing interviews with you and that kind of stuff. I have learned over the years in my job, the economy of words. And tell me if I'm right or wrong here. The basic simple message, stop being mean to other people.
Right.
It's all good.
Or, yeah. Or I would flip and say, be nice to everyone. Everyone's human. Everyone, you know, even if somebody's different from you or different from your experience, everyone is a human being that whose feelings can be hurt and who wants to you know, have a great day at school or have a great day in football camp or whatever that is. So yeah, just be nice to everyone and be respectful.
Before we run out of time, I know you guys have stayed. Is there something that we don't know? Is there something that we're missing that you found in your research that people don't know or understand about the LGBTQ plus kids that maybe we've missed the boat? We need to, you know, parents need to know this. Kids need to know. What are we missing? What do we not know?
Wow, that's a huge question. I'm sure there's a lot more that I don't know. So I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer that. I do know that it matters that we provide that supportive adult particularly for kids that feel otherized, right? And in this case, LGBTQ kids. And so the good news is that in our state, 95% of students who identify as LGBTQ say that they do have that supportive individual at school, and 55% of them say that they can identify six or more supportive adults in their lives. And we know that every kid needs that supportive network, and we just want to make sure we're providing it for all kids and that they feel safe asking for that help and that we're ready to provide it.
And for the kids out there that are wondering, well, how do I deal with this? The main thing is just remember, just because what's right or wrong for you doesn't necessarily mean right or wrong for me, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's back to be kind to everyone and be supportive of everyone and understand that your experience isn't all the experiences in the world.
So are you guys doing constant research on this? Do you have like meetings or anything coming up or, you know, what's going on? How are you carrying out your research from this point forward?
Yeah, so we our data team did a three-part series actually on this topic, looking at LGBTQ kids in schools, in foster care, and in the juvenile justice system, because unfortunately there is a lot of discrimination and all of those negative, you know, bullying and harassment and all of that in all of those settings. That being said, you know, it's within the context of all kids. So we did a deep dive this month into this topic, and that information will be out there and there's good resources. And then next month, we'll be looking at a new topic because there's a lot of issues out there that we need to be thinking about to make sure our kids are well supported.
And of course, if folks want to read up on all the research and all the other reports that you guys have out, all the educational material you've got, this isn't for kids always. It's probably more for adults than how to deal with kids. Where do we go?
IYI.org. It's all available there free of charge at your fingertips.
Oh, there you go. And of course, we have your bright smiley face on at least one or two of the articles that are in there because you come up with a new article every month. Well, I try. But you come up with a new article every month. There's always something new out there. So, honestly, you could spend from now till next month's interview reading over your website because there's so much stuff there. So
there is quite a lot. And again, if there's a topic that folks think we need to be covering or looking at, please don't hesitate to shoot us an email because, again, we're always evaluating what information are we hearing from the field that are youth serving professionals and parents and families that they're interested in and how can we help provide information on that.
Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute, IYI.org is the website. We've got this program as a podcast right now on our website. And if you head on over to their website, you can read up on the info that they have on today's topic, as well as a lot of others too. We'll see you again next week.
To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518 or send an email to frush@dlcmediainc.com. Be sure and tune in again next week at the same time as we focus on the community.